for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday evening service of November the 24th, 1995, of the Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the speaker for the evening.
Knowing Brother Bill Smith for many years, we go down to their, try to attend their camp meeting every March and try to be a blessing, and they're sure a blessing to us and all those who come there at their place to minister. We appreciate them moving out of their house and giving us the keys to it when we go. Can you imagine that? We come down and he gives me the keys and they move out. But we appreciate that. And Brother Bill's been a blessing here to us and to the campground. And he's going to minister the word of the Lord tonight. And whatever the Lord moves, prophetic ministry and minister the word. And we appreciate him coming to be with us. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Glenn. You know, Glenn and Irma have been such a blessing to us. I think my first trip here to the campground was in 79. And I enjoyed myself being here. I've been here several times since. I've been twice this year. But it's not that I don't want to come here. It's because we are so busy in the things of the Lord. Brother Glenn and Sister Irma talks about us moving out of the house. I feel honored to have the people of God like this in my house. Praise the Lord. And I've never known anybody as so honest in every facet of their being as Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. I've always said he's the little man with the big stick. And he don't play with the devil. It gets down to business, and we appreciate that. And it's been such an honor to be here in this camp meeting. And I've so enjoyed the Word of the Lord. I've enjoyed Brother Robert's preaching, singing. And when the Lord lets me get fully manifested, I'm going to sing like Brother Robert, and then I'm going to have an accent like Brother Robert. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then the Lord, many years ago, you see, I come tonight after all of these years of ministry. I come in fear and trembling. When I was very young, you know, Brother Robert, I would go to the meetings and I would wonder why that I'm the only one knows that I'm supposed to do the preaching tonight. But then, you know, after that, the Lord began to give us news to give, and then we began to enter the pulpit in fear and trembling because we might not have the news that God wants today. I'm not interested in what's happened in years gone by. Thank God for that revival. But I'm interested in what God is doing today. Amen. And so many years ago, the Lord came through a lady, Alta Smith. Perhaps many people here might not have known her. We have the same name, but we're not related and naturally. So I was about 6 weeks old in the Lord, and she began to prophesy over me about me going to the foreign countries and ministering to different races of people. So I knew everything, you know. I'm 6 weeks old. I know everything now. That's where my grandson gets up today. He says, "Papi, I know all about Jesus. I know all about God. We don't have to go back tonight." So I went home and I told my wife, I said, you know, she doesn't know everything, because when I minister to this metropolitan area that I live in, I won't have time to go to the mission fields. In 6 months, rather, not 6 weeks, 6 months, I was standing in the West Indies declaring the kingdom of God. So you see, We can mark these words off as false prophets. But you see, you have to move in focus of what the prophecy has been given unto you if it's of God. So then, the West Indies was a place that there were a lot of churches. They needed to know the truth, but there were a lot of people there that had and had a lot of churches. So then the Lord gave me the privilege of going into the country of Mexico about 4 years later. And I went in there, I cried, and I cried, and I cried. I didn't even know, Gloria, what C means. But say, now you hablo mucho por español now. See, I butcher two languages, Spanish and English. Sí, está bueno. But now the Lord has blessed us, and we've built 16 churches in the country of Mexico. We support those pastors every month. And they call me their pastor. So we never built no churches in no cities. We went to the bush country and built the churches where that they have not the privilege and the honor. Now we've got those people preaching the kingdom of God in the country of Mexico. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm still learning and I'm still teaching. A few months back, we were in the country of Mexico. Went over to the village where that our interpreter lives. Young girl, 11 years of age. I don't know what happened to her, but all I can tell you, she looked like she was dying. Eyes was already set in her head, and she was hardly breathing. They were running around there and said, "We need a driver to drive the truck to get her into Linares. To the hospital." I believe we've come to an hour now that we quit talking about it, but we produce it. We talk about how great our God is, how the miracles that God speaks. Just like a lady kept running to me and said, me panzón. I said, well, everybody's got one. That's a stomach. In Spanish, me panzón. I looked at her. The only thing, the big old tumor looked like that she was pregnant, you know. And God had brought that tumor to nothing. Now back to the little young girl. I said, you may get somebody to take her to the Linares in the truck. I can't even do that. But let's take her to the church. It's just 20 steps over. Let's go to the church. We went over there and we began to pray and lay hands on this young girl. Just like that, God delivered her and gave her a miracle right then and there. But then I was embarrassed. It noised all out through the village how that me, two preachers from our church, Brother David Singleton and Brother John Arista, a Spanish brother that God had sent to our church, and God wrought a healing. I want you to know everybody began to come around because of the miracle. I said, you make me cry. Because these are something that happens every day in our life, or they should happen. Brother Robert, we as people of God, we follow signs instead of signs following us. The Bible says that the signs shall follow them that believe. And then didn't Brother Fort Worth really blessed us this morning? You thought his name was Chuck Worth, but his name is Brother Fort Worth. As he shared such a word with us this morning in such a little time frame, gave us so many things to chew on, to dig out, to search out, to know the matter. But I want to share what's on my heart that God has been dealing with me about in the last several months. Brother Chuck Fort Worth talked this morning about the third day from the cross. He talked a little bit about the seventh day from Adam. The seventh day from Adam is the same day as the third day from the cross. Now we're entering into an area in God.
How many knows at the turn of the century there has been an outpouring, there's been a wave of God's glory that's come to this earth? Every time that there's been a wave of glory around the turn of the century, I've been praying and looking unto God, and I realized the Hebrew calendar is 4 years off from our calendar. Brother Robert, in the 7th chapter of the book of John, Jesus came to the feast secretly. Not openly, but He came secret in the midst of the week. Is that correct, Brother Bob? In the middle of the week. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. We don't know the day or the hour, neither will we try to put God in our time frame. But Brother Bob, the Word of God says we're going to know the season. Now, if we're getting these calculations right, somewhere around October is the feast month. Is that correct? Now, somewhere around in the midst of October in 96, there could be the turn of the 2,000 years. There could be another wave of glory. I didn't say you're going to turn green. I didn't say you were going to grow ears like Spock on Star Trek. I'm talking to you about a wave of God's glory that's going to be brought to this earth. How many of us today are we ready and seeking? I'm like Brother Bob, I'm hungry, Lord, feed me. Hallelujah. But you see, we keep saying, well, we got plenty of time. I believe that we're approaching another fullness of time again. But if I'm wrong, haven't hurt you. You see, if I train you to be an overcomer and you get raptured away, I haven't hurt you one bit. You're the best person there is that got flying away. You can't lose with that. But now let's notice. I feel with all of my heart that we as pastors, as leaders in the land, that we've hindered the body of Christ in many areas. I've cried out daily, Lord, don't you ever let me dwarf the body of Christ. But God, you let me feed your body that your body will not be anemic, but they will grow, develop, and mature. So tonight we want to talk about a pure seed that I feel that God is raising up in leadership today that's going to lead and guide and govern the body of Christ into its fullness. So then if we have a manifestation of God next October, how many of us are ready for another wave of God's glory? How many of you are willing to change day by day to come into the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now let's notice. Exodus. Could I have a drink of water? I'm a water preacher. Necesito agua con hielo. Exodus chapter 2 verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi after a pure seed. How many of us, we preached something and God began to deal with us that we were wrong in that area, and we were willing to say that we were wrong and we're ready to change? Thank you, my brother. I used to preach in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus cried out, He said, not my will, but thy will be done. I was saying that everything that was woman in Him was crying out. How many know that's wrong? Because the Bible says in 1 John, St. John chapter 1, verse 13, said that Jesus Christ was not born of the will of man or the will of flesh, but He was born of God, if you please, a pure seed.
Amen.
Come on. A pure seed. Now God is raising up divine deliverers today, that God is removing the minister out because he's looking for a pure seed that's going to lead the body of Christ into the fullness of God. So now we see God is after leadership that will govern the body of Christ. The other day, last Friday night, a week ago tonight, sometime in the wee hours of night, God woke me up. I sit there in my bedroom, in my bed. Brother Glenn, I saw myself riding on the swiftest, whitest horse that's ever been brought forth in the land. You said, well, and I've heard it preached that, well, Jesus is coming back on a white horse. He's God. He's omnipotent. If he wants to ride a white horse, that's his business. But, brother, I'm not seeing that as a white horse, as it were, an animal, but I'm seeing a company, hallelujah to God, that he's coming forth in the earth, and he's riding upon this white horse, this thoroughbred, if you please, hallelujah to God, that's going to march through this land and not break rank and thrust one another. Amen. And then, all of a sudden, it said, and they that follow him, they too were upon white horses. Is this the book? It's the book, isn't it? So now what is God doing? God saying, I'm bringing forth my leadership that's going to bring perfection unto my body, because my body is going to be the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now, let's notice. Go with me now into 1 Samuel. And I'll tell you, is that Brother Joel that said was crying out to be an intercessor? Brother Glenn, I'm going to tell you something, folks. This little man that carries the big stick, if I'm in dire need, I won't be calling to Los Angeles, California. I won't be calling to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or to Dallas, Texas. I'm going to be calling Hot Springs, Arkansas, and getting hold of a man that will find. What are we doing now? We're coming now at the feet of Jesus. We're locating the feet of Jesus. And then what is he going to do as we locate the feet of Jesus? He's going to lift us up. Now, we come into Samuel. We see a man named Elkanah. He's got two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Here is one that's giving birth, as it were, every 9 months. But here is another one, which was a type of the church. You see, there's only two women in your Bible. There are many names, but there's only two women. It's the harlot system, and it's the church of the living God. It's the first Adam, or it is the last Adam. Come on, it's no many other Adams. You say, why are you saying that, Brother Smith? In North Carolina, in Asheville, they're preaching 3 and 4 Adams. Come on, folks. The book says the first one and the last one. Now, so we come over here. Here is a lady, a crying out for a man child. She didn't do like a lot of people. When there's pressures, they stay away from the body of Christ and they stay away from the church. But her adversary brought her unto God. She began to cry out for a man child. Why? Because the leadership is blind. How many today, just like Brother Robert said, you have already been numbered if you come down here to Lake Hamilton anyway, so you might as well enjoy yourself. You might as well just be a part of it because you've already been numbered. But that's all right. That's okay. But here's the thing about it. Here is the leadership thought she was drunk. How many of them think that we're drunk today? How many of them think that we're off from the wall today? Because we'll get out on our face and we'll weep and we'll intercede for the body of Christ. And we're not begging for dollars and cents, but we're like Joseph of Arimathea. We're begging for the body of Christ, that the body of Christ will come into the full production of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But give me a man trial. Well, so you know the story. Gave him a man trial. But now, let's look at leadership. We've got an existing Eli. Come on. We've got an existing Eli. If you please, he's old. He's getting blind. He has no revelation, no knowledge of God. When Paul prayed the priestly prayer in Ephesians 1:18, he said that the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. He's dim. No. Brother Glenn, I didn't look at my watch when I started.
Neither did anybody else.
Amen. Now, so here we've got the leadership. Is old. And if you please, Brother Robert, I even believe it said that he was even heavy. I want you to know, on the flesh, what was happening at the temple, that there was no correction. Come on. The leadership. But if we read 1 Samuel 3, the word of God was so precious in that day, but there was no open vision. But in Samuel 2:35, he said, I will raise up me a faithful priest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so, verse 15 of chapter 4. What's happening? The ark has been taken, being taken. All right, and now, here's his two sons in verse 17. Has died, got killed. It came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck broke and he died, for he was an old man and heavy and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now, you see, there was a existing Eli that we are dealing with in the church today. Brother, we're not coming to church to get pumped up. We come here ready to go. I did not come to Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's such a beautiful place it is to get the victory. I came here walking in the victory that was won from the foundation of the world. I brought the victor with me. He lives in the house. Hallelujah. So now, very heavy, dim, but oh, we've got one order passing away. And brother, I'm here to tell you today that there's an order that's passing away in the body of Christ today. But there is a new order that's being birthed forth. And it's the life of God within His people. There is a birthing forth today that's coming through by the power of the Spirit today. Oh yes, an existing Eli. But there was a growing Samuel. Now, he's heavy, the flesh, without restraint, going blind, became Ichabod. And in all of this, what happens? They choose a king. Brother Glenn, God said you don't need a king. I want to be your king. I want to be the ruler of your life. Well, we got to be like the Joneses. You know, the Smiths got to keep up with the Joneses. We've got to have a king. So then they chose a king. Now, could I get an amen? Was he a head and shoulders man? Was Saul head and shoulders above everything else? Now, brother and sister, today we've seen this kind of leadership that's been chosen of men. God never told us to vote in a popularity contest to place men and women in to run the church of the living God. He said, look ye out, 7 men full of the Holy Ghost, and appoint them over this matter. This is divine order, and this is where God's bringing us in today, because we're coming back to divine order again, and we're going to see the manifestation of God wrought within mine and your vessel. And in our church. Hallelujah. Now, we got this head and shoulder man. His name is Saul. Let's go over here now to chapter 9, verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than all of the people. Now, a head and shoulders man. And he has been picked by man, not picked by God. So then what happened? Then the command was given to him to take care of the Amalekites and slay Agag, because they were the type that kept the woman barren, which was the church. Said, get rid of it, all of the animals, every woman, man, boy, and girl. Get rid of it. Now, he was the head and shoulders man, but he could never judge the Amalekites. He could never deal with them. Because why? Because he could never judge the flesh. And this is the problem that we're having today. The head and shoulders man, and they're so big and in their own self and in their own eyes, but they've never been able to judge the fleshly man. And to be carnal minded is death. To be spiritual minded is life and peace. Now, what's happening to us, Brother Bob? I got where I don't like Bill Smith near as much as I used to. Huh? I've had about all of him that I want. I want to judge him. Oh, yes, he was a head and shoulders man. But he could never. He kept that which was good, didn't he? Kept that which he liked. But he lied, didn't he? Told 5 other lies to cover up. I've done all you told me to do. But there was a seer. There was this growing Samuel that had a word that never fell to the ground. That never fell to the ground. And brother and sister, today I'm talking about deliverance that God's bringing forth in the earth today. Hallelujah to God. I want to see a people to walk in divine deliverance and walk in divine government with God. That governmental order that God will honor. Now, so then, the head and shoulders man, he reigned for 40 years, and the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, he never inquired of the Lord in the 40 years of his reign. Think of the condition. And I want to tell you something, I've never had a burden for people that God has given me a burden for today. There are people that I'm ministering to tonight that there's not a move of God church around in your locality, and the only time you get food is when you come to camp like this. And brother, I want you to know God wants you to be fed daily, that you will develop and mature in Him. That you can war a good warfare. So now, the head and shoulders man, he's out. Now go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, and let's look again. Well, verse 1, Samuel, he has mourned for Saul because Saul has failed God. And I want to tell you something, as a young pastor, many years ago, I've laid and I've cried over on my pillow over people in the church, because I knew they had missed God. They chose another way to go that was not edifying, that would not build up the family to keep the family together. This family that I cried over for days and for days, They went away, you see. A lot of people, Brother Robert, say you're from Scotland. They think we preachers, we drive Cadillacs, we eat fried chicken, ate that gospel bird. And that's all that we have to do. But sometimes we get down and we cry with them. We go down and we have birth pains with them. And I cried and I cried and I said, please don't do this. God shows me that this is the way of destruction. They said, well, you don't entertain the children. You don't have the midnight bowling games. Come on. Folks, if you have to take a chicken leg to get you in church, we're going to have to keep a chicken leg to keep you in church. But brother, if you're brought by the Spirit of God, the Spirit's going to keep you there. Now, so they went away. Last week, Brother Bill, I stood out there by that big old bass boat of mine. I cried tears over this brother. Been gone for all of these years. I found out he had 72 shock treatments. Come over there at my house with a big patch over his sword, over his nose. And I said, brother, what happened to your nose? He said, they just took a cancer out last week. The oldest daughter already divorced twice. The second son is a schizophrenic in the hospital in Cleburne, Texas. The baby son is on drugs. Now what kind of payday is that, Brother Glenn? You will never leave the presence of God and it be profitable in your life. Amen. You'll never go from what God is doing and it be profitable in your life. That's why I'm crying out daily, oh God, you make me the leader in the land over these churches in Mexico, the leader as I minister to the body of Christ throughout the United States of America. God, you help me to lead your people into the fullness of you. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. So then, David, God tells Samuel, fill that horn with oil. You go down to Jesse's house and you get me a king that will rule my people. All right. He goes down there and he finds Eliab. Oh, he's a head and shoulders man too. And after all, he's been trained a warrior from his youth in Saul's army. Man, this would be the best route to go. But God, he reached over to make that mistake. God said, no, he's not the one. He's not the one. You're looking on the outward appearance, and I'm looking on the heart. You see, if I had been God, I wouldn't have called Bill Smith. I'd call somebody that was more qualified. I wouldn't have called me. I'd call somebody more qualified. So then, what did he do? He said, God hasn't chosen him. Why? Why didn't God choose him? Because God knew he would break down under pressure. And brother, the Goliath comes out there for 40 days and 40 nights, says, send me a man. Remember, he's the mouthy champion. 6 cubits and a span. He's a big dude. Send me a man to fight with me. But Eliab stood there for 40 days, 40 nights. 40 is, someone has talked about numerology, is divine testing upon the earth. The flood was upon this earth 40 days and 40 nights. Moses in the mount with God 40 days, 40 nights. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Divine testing upon this earth. Send me a man for 40 days. Eliab stood there trembling. Then all of a sudden, he said, I don't want him. Just think. Here is 7 has passed through. And that's what they said about Fellowship Temple. They said, we would like to go there, but they just worship too long. They stand too long and worship God. We would like to go, but they just do that. We like to sang three songs. If I fly away in this cabin and corner glory land, my mansion's next door to Jesus. And then we can sit out. And neither one of the scripture songs is any biblical pattern at all. I like what my Scotchman brother said. He said that's where two fools met. About the prophecies and the one that gave the money for the prophecy. Come on. Now. But you see. So then there are seven passed before him. None of them. None of them. And guess what? The Bible says they don't get to sit down. Is that right? They don't get to sit down. And he said, but I got one more. He's out here in the field. But I want to tell you something. If you've ever read The Treasures of David, it's a three-volume book. I've had it. I don't think it's in print no longer. Sister Irma might be able to tell you about that. If you ever read The Treasures of David, you'll understand David. Said that even David, here he is. He's the eighth son. And eight in your Bible is the day of new beginnings. New beginnings. Oh, that just happened to get that way. How come you think Revelation 12 got to be when the woman is clothed with the sun and the moon on her feet? That's governmental order. She's reflecting everything that's passed from the earth, and she's pointing to what's before us. Every bit of it, she's reflecting because she's completely under government divine order. Now, so they say, well, he's just ruddy. You know, he's just, if you please, he kind of looks a little bit feminine because he's got a rose complexion. Look up the word ruddy in the Hebrew. It's a rose complexion. But you know something? He's been down there playing that harp. He's been down there learning from God. He's been in training. And the treasures of David said that when that animal or one of the sheep would get sick, that David would skin that sheep. And he would put the skin on the inside and wear the wool on the outside to identify with those sheep. Brother Robert, I remember when one hung on the cross who knew no sin and no God was ever found in his mouth, but he identified with Bill Smith, the rotten, no good sinner. How did he do that? To redeem me unto God. Here's a man that's in training. Come there and said, pour the oil upon him. And if you know about the life of David, he walked in three realms of anointing. The oil that was poured out of the ram's horn upon him. Then when he was king over Judah for 7 years and a half, 7 years and 6 months, he was anointed again. And then, brother and sister, when he was anointed over the kingdom, over the whole Israel, then he was anointed again. And brother and sister, today, when you and I repented of our sins, there was a vial of oil that came upon us. And then when the infilling of the Holy Ghost came in our life, there was another vial that came upon us again. There was another anointing. And then when you and I were anointed for the kingdom of God, brother, there was a greater anointing that came upon our being and anointed us for this day. Now, here, we have a replacement now for the head and shoulders man. So, then we go on into 17th chapter. And he's got this big dude out there. But you know something? I had my mother, whom that I love so dearly, my father, gone to glory, a great intercessor in the kingdom of God. There never was a time that they were the old man and the old lady was too dear to me. That was my mother. That was my father that I loved so dearly. But I can remember as my mother would tell me, she'd say, son, don't never get rid of that business that you have because that business is making a lot of money. Son, hire somebody to run that business. And I said, Mother, I love you dearly because you're my mother, and I appreciate your advice. But Mother, I'm fixing to kill the ox.
I'm going to break the plow because I'm not going back no more. I've headed out for the kingdom. Brother Robert, I'm starting into my 34th year, and I've never been sorry yet. God has never let me down. I've traveled too many times to nearly to the ends of the earth with this gospel of the kingdom. You wouldn't think that God would allow a peanut preacher to do that, would you? But he has. He has. Now, here is this little bitty, as they sang the song in youth camp, such a puny little sight. You know, Saul begins to dress him up to go for the battle. And so when Saul gets him dressed up, David said, I ain't never tried this before. I've been out there at midnight, and the angels of God has come and ministered to me. You know, there was a lion and there was a bear came in after one of my little ones. And I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him and I slew him. And said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this mouthy champion that you got that's been crying for 40 days? Who is he? I don't even know nothing about him. But then he began to prophesy. He said, not only will I take care of him, but that host that's behind him, I'll take care of them too. It almost sounds like he was from Texas. If you're from Texas, you can brag a little bit, nobody won't never notice it. But the only thing about David, not only did he prophesy, he went and done it. How about them singing a song? Saul has slain his thousand and David his 10,000. Is that the way the book says? All right. So he didn't only prophesy, but he went and done it. Now, so then he throws off the armor and he reaches down and he picks up 5 smooth stones, which is the first time that we see in type of the fivefold ministry, which is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What are they for? For the work of the ministry. Till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the statue of the fullness of Christ, that will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with winds of darkness by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in the head. Now, 5 smooth stones. Now here's, you said, oh, Brother Smith, I thought you was going to go deep. I already knew about Goliath. Now, let's see now if you see these 5 stones. Where did the stone go? Right into the forehead. Now, brother, I see the apostles. Let me give you just real quick. The apostles, let me give you 5 G's. Apostles is to guide the body of Christ. Or to govern the body of Christ. The prophet, he is to guide the body of Christ. The evangelist, he is to gather the body of Christ. He gets to wear the pink pants and the white shirts and on all of those. Then we pastors, thank God for evangelists. And this preacher right here, you know what the first thing he told me? I have a pastor. You know what I liked about him the first time? Because that's biblical pattern. All these preachers run out there with no covering. You're an unclean vessel, the Bible says. You got to submit to somebody. Preacher, am I doing that all right? He comes to me first day. I've got a pastor. I said, praise God, he's in biblical pattern. You know what God's going to do? Is keep on building and enlarging. Now, but when we let these evangelists come in, but we don't do that no more, they say that Bill Smith guards his pulpit. No, I don't care who rolls the ball just as long as it's rolled. But sometimes we have these evangelists come in and we have to clean up the mess after they left. Huh? They just gather. Huh? They just gather. That's that big finger. They gather. Then we come along to the pastor. What does he do? He guards
He guards the flock of God. Then what we do with a teacher? Well, he's the smallest finger. He can go the deepest into the ear. And he grounds the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, so then what do we say? All this ministry that God's bringing forth now to govern, to guide the body of Christ. God is taking the fivefold ministry, those five smooth stones, and he's guiding divine order, hallelujah to God, into the forehead of the enemy. Where do you think the enemy's territory has been invaded since you've been in this camp? In deliverance. Because why? The divine order of God is guiding that truth into the forehead. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16 said, but ye have the mind of Christ. The 144,000 upon Mount Zion have the Father's name written in their forehead. As I travel across this universe, people find out I know a couple of scriptures. They'll say, what about the mark of the beast? I said, well, I don't know about that mark of the beast. But I'll tell you one thing I do know about. Amen. If you got the mind of Christ, don't worry about the mark of the beast. If you got the mind of Christ, you're going to know the next event that's taking place. Yes, if I've got the Father's name written in my forehead, I've got the mind of God, I'm going to know what's going on. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Let it guide it into the forehead. Well, it's 9:30. My wife, she tells me, she said, Bill, I know you're not going to look at the watch, but she says, I'm going to wave the calendar. The day's going to pass on you. Hallelujah. I know what it means, Brother Kyle, that fire that's shut up in your bones. Hallelujah. And then here we see again, talking about this order. A coming forth. A divine order. Remember when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant across. There was 120 priests standing and blowing those trumpets. 120 in your Bible is the end of one age, but it's the beginning of a new order. One day in the upper room, there was 120 Jews. They were blowing the trumpet and tongues of fire set upon each one of them. They too were blowing the trumpet. Pentecost had been coming for over 1600 years, but the Bible said, and Pentecost had fully come. What was happening? One order was passing away, but there was a brand new order birthing forth. Then we see Jesus again. He looked at his disciples one day. He said, say ye 4 months. Say ye not 4 months and then come with harvest. But look ye out on the field, it's white already. Could somebody tell me what 4 times 30 is? Huh? The end of one age, but the beginning of another. Now, I remember again, there were two that were sent by the Spirit to the temple. Come on. Their name was Simeon and Anna. Born under the law. Born under that oil economy. But they were sent by the Spirit to the temple. All of a sudden, there were two that were under the law and they were getting older. But brother, there was another day that was fixing to dawn. There was a baby named Jesus fixing to cry in the manger. One order was passing away, but another order was birthing forth. And this is where that we're at today. We've got the old order system that we've been in. It's passing away, but God's birthing forth due order today. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. It just thrills me. You see, Brother Robert, get that accordion. And sing words that's been given by God. Sing words. Scriptural sound. Because listen, many times we don't look this year, but many times we could let him sing and we could go home and we've had more word than many of the churches in Fort Worth, Texas get on a Sunday. You see what we're talking about? Brother, I want you to know the word of God. There's no other name above the name of Jesus, but the Word of God is above His name. Now, I want to tell you something. Turn with me. Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Now, who's the owner of this world? God owns it. So then, if the devil's here, he's an intruder. Is that correct?
Amen.
He's an intruder.
Yes.
Now, brother, we have to deal with intruders. You heard about Sister Irma this morning talking about my dogs. Brother Glenn helped baby 8 of them at one time. We raised Chinatown puppies. Brother Glenn helped take care of them during camp meeting. Talk about guards on duty. Well, I got a bass boat out there. Got several other things out there. But them guard duty boys, they don't let nobody bother nothing. No intruder. If they don't scare you to death, they'll make you think you're scared to death. When anything that big starts after you, you're going to clear the fence or you're going to get out. So, how many of us now, did not Israel have to deal with the Philistines all of their journeys? All right. So Goliath was a type of the devil. But the Philistines is a type of the demon spirits. What are we dealing with today that comes against the body of Christ? Demon spirits.
Yeah.
Huh? But you see, we don't know who we belong to. We don't know who the earth belongs to. Now, I'm going to have to wind this thing down. Then the greater son of David, according to Matthew 1:1, that greater son of David, can you imagine what a bloody battle that was when David took the head off from Goliath? He never had to deal with Goliath again. The problem that I'm having today in the church world, they're dealing with the same one they dealt with 40 years ago. Come on, folks. How many knows that there's a last enemy to overcome? And you're still dealing with the first one. The last one to overcome is death. Come on. Come on. Now, wasn't that a bloody battle? Now it's story time. Do you know why God loves fishermen? That's why I'm a fisherman. Reason why God loves fishermen, he said, Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen, folks. They walked in inner circle with Jesus. You know why? Because we fishermen can tell the greatest story how the biggest one got away. How do you think they got that big? By getting away. Now I want to tell you about the fishermen. Peter, James, and John, they told the greatest story of all, how the big one got away. Death and hell in the grave couldn't hold him.
Amen.
Oh, yes, he got away. That's why God loves fishermen. Because they could tell how the big one got away. Hallelujah. He got away. Death. That's why I don't bother me one bit. I know I'm not that big, but you don't have to be big if you're fast enough. When I look at them right in the eyeball, and I don't want to talk dirty tonight, but if you don't believe in the literal return of my Lord, I'm sorry. I have problems. Because I read the book, and that Holy One saw no corruption.
Amen.
He saw no corruption.
Amen.
This same Jesus, I know that the Holy Ghost has took resident, and Brother Bill, the Holy Ghost is living here. But that same Jesus is coming back to this earth again. Hallelujah. And I look at him and I said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe no literal return of the Lord. He's already dissolved in Jesus. Already dissolved in the body. I said, I'd like to have chapter and verse for all of that. Let me tell you something. When they stole the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines, that was only a type. But brother, the real was in the eternal heavens with our God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, we talked about Goliath having that bloody battle. Let me tell you something. Now, I want you to look at verse 8 before I leave this psalm here. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Now, you see, this is why you can have more victories when you know who's strong in battle. Let me tell you something, folks. The enemy is trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Because you're invading his territory. And if you're not invading his territory, he has no problem with you. But he's trying to wear out the saints of the Most High God. But he can't do it. He can't do it. Now, I want to talk about this bloody battle. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Here is my Savior. He began to preach. He said, in 3 days, I'll rise again. Well, then he said, in 46, they said, well, in this temple, we're going to tear it down and raise it up in 3 days. Them Jews looked around her and said, 46 years took us to do this, and you're going to tear it down and raise it up in 3 days. But you know what he was doing? Speaking of the temple of his body. Now, I want to know, do you think that we're crossing in to the third day? Come on. Hosea chapter 6 said, what are we stricken and we're smitten? But in second day, what we're afflicted, but in the third day, raise us up to live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So then, this bloody battle. My Savior fought this bloody battle at Calvary. He came, they put him into a barred tomb. But brother, he went down into the lower part. I've seen books that said the 40 days that Jesus did of infallible proofs on the earth. But I want to tell you something, folks. There was 43 days. He was 3 days down into the heart of the earth, setting captivity captive. He there was getting the chains, hallelujah, of death. And what was he doing? He said, I'll hold them chains until someone comes on that I can trust these chains into their hands and these keys into their hands. And then what did he do? That bloody battle that he fought, what did he do? He conquered death. Come on. Come on. What did he do? He was put in that tomb, but he left that tomb empty. He conquered that grave. Oh, that greater son of David. What did he do? He too had the bloody battle. And brother and sister, today, this is why. And then what does he say in Revelation 1:18? I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I've got the keys of hell and death. Now, brother and sister, while we're doing this here, my. Turn with me, Psalms 102, closing the last time. Psalms 102. Now let's look down, verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. All right, then the servants take pleasure in her stone. These stones represents the gifts of God for favor of the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion. Come on. What is he doing? He's building you up that he can appear in you. Hallelujah. That he can appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise the prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of the sanctuary from heaven, did the Lord behold the earth. What for? To hear the prisoner Bill Smith. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To loose those that are appointed unto death. I believe you read Hebrews when Hebrews said we're appointed unto death and once after that the judgment. But brother, I'm here to declare tonight that Jesus Christ, my Lord, he went to death for every last one of us that we could walk in his life. Hallelujah to God. God is training us today for walk from life to life in him. Yeah.
For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he would destroy the very works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Brother, this is what we're talking about tonight. But you see, the leadership. Oh, yeah, they got 15-minute sermonettes for Christianettes. No more. Brother, we're coming down to the nitty-gritty because God's raising up deliverers. Hallelujah. There will be an exodus again that we will walk out of all the hang-ups that we're in and walk into perfection in God. You said, Brother Smith, you can attain perfection. Psalms 132, verse 8, the Bible said, he will perfect that which concerneth me. Now, that's the book. Stand with me. I will start again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see where that leadership is much of the problem in the body of Christ today? Hallelujah. Leadership. Now, brother, God is raising up leaders with governmental authority that's going to govern the body of Christ, that's going to take the body of Christ into the fullness. And brother, listen, you haven't arrived until you meet the stature of the fullness of Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 4. That's when you have arrived. And brother, I'm not going to be satisfied. It said in Psalms chapter 17, verse 15, I won't be satisfied until I awake with his likeness. Hallelujah. What are we doing today? I want you to know there's an old order that's passing away, but there's a birthing forth of a new day, a new hour in God. Hallelujah. I want you to know, Brother Glenn, I'm walking in a realm of redemption in 95 that I never walked in redemption in 94. Because why? God is bringing us. I know what he's after in my life now. And I'm not saying, Lord, wait a minute. I said, God, whatever you need to do, just go ahead and do it. Don't matter if I cry. Don't matter if I grumble or complain. Don't pay no attention. Just go ahead and do what you have to do to bring me in to this fullness of him. God bless you, and I trust that God has ministered to you tonight. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for that old order to pass away and that brand new order being birthed forth? Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and LHBConline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.